what is up. For the first time ever, we have four men in a box. It may not be the prettiest box, but we're going to start talking about boxes. Quentin, Todd, Nick, what's up, fellas? We have week zero in the books and a couple of little previews of what we're, supposed to see out of this new Bobby Petrino-led Arkansas offense. For those that missed it, we're not going to be able to talk about this team much throughout the season, so let me just go ahead and get it out of the way. 70 points, 10 out of 10 on drives. I think it's the first team to ever do it in FCS, FBS. So good job, Bobby. Welcome back. Stay away from blondes and motorcycles. What's up, boys?
10 for 10. It all goes downhill from there. That's how it's going to be written. Hey, listen, he likes blondes. He likes motorcycles. Sometimes they intermingle. It happens.
Nick.
Yeah, I'd be better if that lucky interception didn't happen last night that cost me my Colorado team total. Literally, the ball kicks off the guy's calf right into his teammate's arms. Like, come on, that hurt. But, yeah, looking forward to a great weekend.
And Toddy, before we get to Parker, who I think is having some difficulty right now.
I better go long here. Hey, it's great to be back, man. I mean, I haven't seen your guys, your two ugly mugs since baseball season, which was a lot of fun. And now we add Nick on. I'm excited. My play last night, Rich Rod, it looked like he was coaching at Michigan when they used to score 40 but give up 60. So what can you do? But I'm excited to be back, and let's go. Let's have a lot of fun this weekend.
There's Parker, the special guest, the man of the hour, the man of the week. He has been putting in work. College Football Graphs, for those that have not paid attention on Twitter, College Football Graphs and College Football Insiders have partnered up to bring you guys a lot of the same advanced analytics that we were doing with baseball. Now for football, the man needs no introduction. The bun, the beard speaks for itself. But what's up, Parker? Glad to have you on.
Thanks for having me. Glad to hop in here and see all you guys. I just feel like there's such great anticipation and energy with week one starting here and some fun games. And yeah, is there ever going to be a time, Matt, I wanted to ask you, is there ever going to be a time in your life that you're more high on Talen Green than you are right now in this exact moment? Like, what a joke, right?
Like you said, it's all downhill from here.
He ordered the jersey last night.
Love it. Love it. Got to get it while it's good. I absolutely get that. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun, Matt. Thank you to you. And thank you to the guys at NCAA Insiders. I know, Matt, you and I have been texted about baseball projections for what, 2 or 3 years now at this point, and always wanted to get something done. And finally this year, we're able to make it happen. So it takes a whole bunch of work off my plate to be able to put stuff on the site and direct people there and get those previews up. And gives us an opportunity to continue to learn about analytics together, continue to learn how to use numbers to talk about football games, to make bets, to look at angles. And I'm really excited about this, man. I don't want to overspeak, but I feel like this is the start of something really, really great. So it's been a lot of fun getting it all together.
This is the man, for those that don't know, this is the man that got me into advanced analytics for baseball, because he predicted, or his model projected, that Ole Miss would win the College World Series a few years ago. And they were a huge dog in it. I can't even remember what the numbers were, but he keeps running these projections and Ole Miss comes out on top every single time. So hats off to you, Parker. I decided to try to learn everything I could, but I'm about 1/116 of 1% of the way there. So a lot to work out, but let's get into it real quick. I know your time is, you've got a whole website to help Nick design. What are we talking about? But dumb it down for us, if you will, just the offensive versus defensive EPA success rates. Now, these are going off of last year's stats, correct?
Yeah. So here at the beginning of the season, we're going to use last year's data to start to get a picture of how a team was good, right? The point rating and how we put those up there, the projected points and win probability, that's kind of saying, is a team good or not, right? And then we're going to go to success rate and EPA to talk about how are they good. There's two things that are really important in college football. Efficiency, can you move the ball every down? And then explosiveness, can you pop off the big play when you need to? How many yards are you getting on those chunk plays? How explosive is your offense? So success rate and EPA are a really nice way to kind of take two stats and understand how a team moves the ball. So success rate is just going to be, did you increase the value or the probability that your team's going to score on that play? Yes or no, right? So a 30-yard run and a for a touchdown and a 5-yard run for a first down are both going to be one in the success column, right? You had a successful play, you moved the ball efficiently. So success rate is just how often you get a successful play when you run the when you run a play. So I believe looking at this here, this is Georgia's offense, 52.2% success. So more than half the time, they are improving the probability that they're going to score on the field on offense. That's excellent. They're third in the nation. You see that there. Clemson's defense, they're only allowing a positive play about a third of the time, 35% of the time. That's best in the nation. They're not allowing a lot of explosiveness. So now we have an idea of, they're not allowing a lot of efficiency. So now we have an idea of how well you're moving the ball kind of on a down to down basis. And now we want to know, all right, are you getting those big plays? Are you separating? Georgia's offense overall, fifth in EPA per play, 0.124. And so EPA is expected points added. I'm going to give you guys the elevator pitch. Tell me if this makes sense. If you're on your own 5-yard line and it's first and 10 and you get 3 yards, that's a bad play. That's not a great play, right? If you are fourth and 3 on your opponent's goal line and you get 3 yards, that's a pretty good play, right? That's a way better play. If we look at something like yards per play, we're going to count those plays the same. And we know that's not true. We know the point value across the field is different based on the down, the distance, the yard line there. So all EPA does is translates yards to points in context, and it helps us understand the value of a given play. So Georgia is adding 0.124 points every play on offense. On defense, they're limiting their opponents to a negative EPA per play on defense. They're consistently pushing that defense back. These numbers on EPA right here are opponent adjusted. So not only are we accounting for where you are in the field, we're accounting for the quality of the opponent that you play as well. And so that's how you can start to look at not just these two stats in isolation, but you can start to compare them. So look at Clemson's defensive success rate first, but their defensive EPA is 16th. So they're a little bit worse in the EPA than they are at success rate. So when Clemson is giving up a successful play, which is not very often, they're giving up explosive plays at a higher rate than you would expect based on how efficient their defense is. And so there you start to see the idea of the efficiency and the explosiveness and how you get a picture of not only is a team good, but how is a team good? In the deeper stat preview on the website, you can go further. You can look at rush and pass. You can look at how often a team rushes and passes. You can look at field position on both sides of the ball. You can look at points per drive, all these things to kind of start to get back deeper and deeper. But just at the base level, I want to know for a college football team, how well are you moving the ball and how explosive are you? Boom, that's success rate and EPA distilled down to two numbers.
And then to put a bow on all this, the projected points and the win probability is taking all of these ingredients, putting them together, and then factoring what?
Everything. Yeah. So basically what I do in just non-technical terms, right? This is just vibes. If you are watching this and you want to know more, hit me in the DMs. We can nerd out, whatever. But here, basically I say, all right, the score of the game is a general signal about how much value you had on that game, but I'm going to take some of the noise out of that and I'm going to readjust the score for how efficient you were, how explosive you are. That's going to take things like interceptions and big play turnovers. That's going to take things like special teams touchdowns out of the equation because those aren't as informative as to how good you are as a team. And so I'm going to base it on those first principles, and then I'm going to put it in a big old matrix and do a bunch of super nerdy math stuff to adjust for opponent. So I'm confident that you actually scored this amount of points, and that's what it would look like if you played an average team. So if Georgia drops 60 on Kent State, I don't believe Georgia is going to drop 60 on Alabama, right? I've got to adjust for those there. And so I do that opponent adjustment at the points level as well.
Guys,
learn a lot.
Yeah,
it definitely makes it, when you break it down, it makes it easier.
Awesome. Yeah, it helps. It helps that I talk really fast too. I know that makes it a lot easier. Can you imagine having me as a college professor?
So,
no, but could you imagine just hanging out? You know, it's a Saturday afternoon. You're tailgating, drinking some beers, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, I like Stanford +9.5. And I say, oh, why? And then you start spitting off all of these stats that are on our website. Parker, you're gonna let us sound a lot smarter than we are, man. we're glad. Hey,
that's the dream, man. Everybody's a little more educated, and you know, again, helps us because you guys are all, you know, you've got your edges and your angles, and you look at college football in your own way. I'm really optimistic as we kind of get this first version of the partnership and the site going that we can talk about, like, hey, what's important to you? I know Matt's talked to me about a couple projects already, and what's really fun about analytics and football is like there isn't, hey, this is the right way to look at football, right? There is, hey, we have data, what can we do with it? And so some ideas there of what's a pull in. I think there's a lot of potential there as well to embrace analytical thinking, even if you're not as mathy and nerdy as I am.
Yeah, Sean Alvarez, thanks for watching. Said my 2029 Oklahoma team, college football 24, would jump off the page.
Love it.
Well, I'm excited. I texted Parker. I said, I think Arkansas is going to look really good on the advanced data. I mean, they're the most efficient team in college football right now.
There's going to be a big old number next to them next week when we update and start pulling in 2024 data for sure.
Well, Parker, if you have anything else, Q, I know you got to run. Happy wife, happy life.
I'll give you my plays real quick, though.
Okay.
All right, so I am going against Parker's numbers. I am taking Notre Dame Irish plus the 3. I just think sometimes there's numbers that you can kind of die on the hill with, but then there's also like the game feel. I think Riley Leonard in a one-on-one matchup is better than Connor Wiegman. I think both defenses are stout, so I'm going to take the quarterback advantage there. I'm going to take Florida plus 3. I know our numbers love that. And then I think actually one of my favorite plays, it's probably the ugliest play, is Northwestern minus 2.5. Our Parker's projections have them as like 13.5 point favorites. So I'll take the 11.5 points there. I just think that Northwestern, they're playing in a weird stadium. It's like literally right on the water. That's extremely abnormal. So I think that's going to kind of throw some teams off, as well as, you know, they bring back their quarterback. They're running like, I think to start the season, 2 quarterback system. Miami, Ohio lost all their receiver weapons, all their running back weapons. So I think Northwestern at home. And then I already lost Arkansas team total thanks to Matt Grissom, led me down a bad dark road there. And then I did a Smitty teaser, JMU minus 2, Maryland minus 14. Loxley always has the Terps starting pretty hot. Usually they're like 4-1 over the first 5, and then they fall off that College Park cliff. And then JMU, JMU's Jamie Chadwell, I believe, is there. He's Liberty. Anyways, JMU, quality program. Really good football. Last year, they were penalized essentially for being good because they made the jump into FBS Division I. So I think they get it done here against Charlotte, who's down half the team. I think Nick Hathcote's stepping in as the tailback for that one. So we'll see how he lines up there. But those are my plays. If I have any more, I'll post in our Discord under the hashtag picks portion of our Discord. It's free to join. Just join. We're going to win you money.
Bob Chesney, James Madison, not Kenny's brother that I know of. He's been at Holy Cross from 18 to 23. This is as good of a time as any to announce that we are going to have another football pick'em contest. This will be 3 games every week against the spread, total, team total, or a first half line. No quarters, no props, but no teasers, no parlays. Each of us will give 3 picks. One of them will be the designated best bet worth 1.5 points, and we will crown the winner at the end of the season, and they will win a copy of the 2003 NCAA football game on PS2. No, I'm just kidding.
Who is that quarterback? I can't even remember.
Joey Harrington, right? Harrington.
I was going to say, that looks like Harrington. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, don't worry, Nick. Smitty already knows. Matt will rig it. He says that somebody won it. And then the next show he goes, by the way, there was a clerical error. I won it.
So I'm not going to penalize you because we did not give out all of our picks. So I know you had Arkansas team total over 50 and or under 50.5 at my recommendation, which lost. That's not going to count against you in this pick'em. So send me 3 games that start tomorrow, or I guess you could do tonight.
I'll send you 3.
You can amend it.
All right. Fellas, Enjoy the show. Kill it. I'll see you guys.
DQ.
See ya.
All right. So let's jump back into it now that Parker has explained what this is. And I kind of drink from a fire hose right there, so I don't really know. But projections have Georgia minus 14 points in this one. You can get them. This line has dropped down to 11.5. Are we buying into the Cade Klubnik hype? Do you think Clemson and Dabo Swinney can take a group of basically just 5-star, 4-star recruits that are kids and go into the Georgia Dome and beat the Bulldogs? I mean, the Bulldogs, the shortest shot to win the national championship. Return Carson Beck. You buying into it? What's with this line movement? Nick, I'll go to you.
Yeah, I'm high on Clemson's offense compared to most, I believe. But I still don't think they're up to the level of Georgia. So I think this number, I had it right around 14 myself. I know it's dropped a lot. This is one of those where earlier in the week, if it was 14 or if it would have gone like 14.5, probably would have been on the Clemson side of it. But if this thing keeps going down, might have to hop on Georgia one way or another, whether it's first half or full game. I just think Cade Klubnik should have a better year. Being in Garrett Riley's system for the second time should help a lot. Phil Moffa is going to do what he does. Great running back there. But, yeah, I'm just Georgia's a better team, more talented, way bigger up front. So I think the line's about right. Interested to see, though, where it closes at tomorrow.
Smitty.
Yeah, I'm on the under 48.5, and I posted it earlier today. You know, I want to look at this too. I agree with Nick there, you know, with the running back, very good running back, wide receivers, two guys are coming back. They did get some 5-stars, but this is a team that just, you know, Dabo does not bring in anybody. It's recruit. He's kind of living in that old school thing that a lot of people aren't very high on anymore. I'm not sure if I'm sold on Klubnik yet. A couple of my buddies are. But I think this one's going to be lower scoring because I think Georgia's going to really slow it down. But if you look at Georgia's offense, you got to remember they're replacing two of their big targets. Beck's a really good quarterback. ETM's coming in from Florida. I think he's going to get suspended. I'm hoping this one is a little slower, especially out of the gate. I think Georgia's defense is going to be tough. Can Clemson compete in the trenches? That's the big question mark for me. I hope it's lower scoring. I think Georgia's going to pull away late. I had the under 48.5.
Klubnik coming off the season, he had 19 touchdowns, 4 rushing touchdowns, and 9 interceptions, only threw for 2,800 yards. I'm not buying him. I think a lot of people are buying into the hype that Clemson kind of has been on a roller coaster of good, bad, but if you really look at it, I don't think Klubnik is an NFL quarterback. And the only times that Dabo has been super competitive is when he has an NFL quarterback, Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence. I'm not buying it. I would lay it with 81% of the betting handle right now with Georgia minus 11.5. And DraftKings just posted as well through Ben Fox. I tweeted that out from the insider's account. The Georgia Bulldogs minus 12.5 is the most bet teams by number of tickets, and they're second in money handle. West Virginia plus 8.5 is the biggest handle right now. You buying into the hype? I don't have West Virginia up here, so I'm going to have to load it up, but we'll get to that one. Are you buying into the hype of the Mountaineers and the Pat McAfee's?
I don't know what to think of this game. This is a kind of confusing one because I could see it going either way. I think it's going to be low scoring again, just kind of like Smitty said with Georgia and Clemson. Both these offenses, I think, are going to take a half to get rolling, if they get rolling at all. Expect this to be low scoring. That spread has come down. I believe it started at 10.5. Now it's down to, you'll see it at 7.5. I would have been on the same thing as the game before. I would have been on the West Virginia side before. If this thing gets to 7, I'm actually waiting on it to get to 7, and I'll take Penn State. Just flat out better team. I know it's tough to play in Morgantown. They're going to be hyped. But give me the talent of Penn State. I think where the biggest struggle is here is West Virginia moving the ball. We know Penn State's offense might struggle a little bit, but West Virginia might not put up many points. Trust this Penn State defensive line and have one of the best secondaries in the country. So I'm waiting on this line to get to 7, and then I'll probably spin Penn State as one of my plays.
Smitty.
Yeah, this one's tough. I mean, the place is going crazy. I mean, Pat was already doing his show there today. Great atmosphere. Yeah, you know, Penn State, it's about the offense. You know, James Franklin can never really win the big game. They bring in a new offensive coordinator from Kansas. I really want to see what happens there. Is Allard the real deal? I mean, I went to games a couple years ago when Clifford was still there and they were begging for him to come in. Has he really lived up to the hype yet? We'll have to see. They got the running backs. They got Allen, Singleton, Fleming, the wide receiver, the transfer from Ohio State's in there. Defense is loaded. I could see this one being like kind of Nick said, could be a little slow at the beginning. You know, you got Green, you got White, good running back. Offensive line, Frazier, the rookie, went to the Steelers, but their offensive line is still good at West Virginia. I think this one's going to be tight. I could see if it keeps dropping, I kind of agree with Nick. I think Penn State is the better team. Atmosphere is going to be rocking, though. I did it in a teaser. I did one teaser. I am the teaser king. Matt, you know how good I was on those teasers last year, buddy. Let's go. Take them up. I took them up to 14. I don't think Penn State beats them by 14. And I'll give that out later who I matched them up with at Q. I kind of went in the other direction with one of Q's teasers. But I think this one's going to be close. But I think, again, Penn State, I think, is the better team. And I know everybody back home. I mean, I grew up right by Penn State. I interned at Penn State. And I'm a Michigan fan. And everybody always hates me and says I bash them. But they got a good team. But I want to see the offense. I want to see where the quarterback goes.
I am on Penn State. I bought them down to -6.5. I think when you look at James Franklin teams, they always come in, I feel like, a little overhyped. But their biggest problem is they can't get past the perennial powerhouses of the Big Ten. And now you've added Oregon and USC, maybe not, but Michigan, Ohio State, those are the teams that Penn State loses to. I don't think they lose to West Virginia. If you can get it under the touchdown, I know Nick kind of said he was waiting on that number too. I just paid the tax to get the better number. We'll see if it works out. But I like Aller. I think he's got to be better than he was last year. And Penn State was still pretty decent last year if you just look at their overall record. As you can see, Parker's numbers have them basically as a touchdown favorite, which is where the line pretty much is. So I hate that Q didn't get to talk about this one. I think this may be one of the bigger pros versus Joes games on the board this week. And this is a number that kind of surprised me with Parker's analytics because he makes Florida a short favorite here, -1.87. Miami, Cam Ward, Graham Hertz for Florida, the statue back there versus the Athletic transfer freak from Washington State that can throw for 4,000 yards. And I think he's on his fourth school in 4 years. Are you buying the hype behind Cristobal? That's kind of the biggest problem for me of not wanting to back Miami here. He just blunder after blunder in the coaching, time management. We kind of saw Deion Sanders do it again last night. I don't know what the deal is, why these coaches won't just kneel the ball, take the win. If this game is close, I'm going to give the edge to Sunbelt Billy. I am on Florida +3.5. Todd, what are you doing here?
Yeah, I'm going to probably go over and watch the first half with Q. And then his dad's coming too, which he's the biggest Miami guy. So that's why I told Q I'm leaving by the half. And he knows I'm on Miami. I did jump on Miami. It's the same thing. And Nick's not going to be happy with me here in a little bit. And he already knows. On about mid-August with Miami at -135. It's still -135 money line. You know, here's the thing with this. You know, you break this down, this could spiral for both teams. Which team's going to lose this game? It could go bad quick. I mean, Florida has the hardest schedule in football. You said, too, with Cristobal, I mean, he's 12-13 there. Billy's 11-14 in 2 years at Florida. Mertz had a good year last year. He had a lot of younger guys playing for Florida. Could that really help this year? It could. It really could. I could see Florida win this. I think that's a good bet if you get the +3 in this. But I like Cam Ward. highest paying guy, I think, in college football. It's come out what they paid him. I love Martinez, the running back from Oregon State. They put in a lot of money. Whoever loses this game, it's the seats. If it's especially Miami, it's really going to heat up for Cristobal Pass. I think if Florida loses, it's warming for Billy. I like Miami in this. I think they have a little bit more talent. The Heat, again, this is not like Utah's coming down there the first game of the season, wearing out. Both these teams should be used to it. Keep an eye on the conditioning. What team is conditioned better? I think that's the thing. I like Miami to squeak out a tight one here.
Nick?
Yeah, this is one of my official bets as well. I'm also on Miami. Same as Smitty with minus 135. I just took the money line there. Basically, I can kind of mirror everything that he said. My biggest factor in this is people are saying, like, yes, Cam Ward has had some issues with turnovers in the past. However, Florida last year was 132nd in the country last year in creating turnovers. They created 6 the entire last year. I think Cam Ward, being a senior, getting into a new kind of, I think it's going to be a little bit more pro style than he was at Washington State. Damian Martinez is going to be good for 4 to 5 yards a run. I just think Miami's a way more talented team here. I know Florida's, everybody's talking about their schedule being bad, and that's why they're going to be bad. I don't trust this Florida roster as much as I do Miami. I get it's on the road. I know it's at the Swamp, which is a tough place to play. That's usually about a 2 to 3 point home field advantage on most college football fields, which makes us usually pick them. So yeah, to give me Miami around that number, it's one I had to take, and I'm just going to take the more talented team, the better quarterback, better running back. And I think they're better on both sides of the line.
And Matt, real quick, I just want to jump in. The last 5 games of the year, I want to see with this defense. Again, younger team last year. I get it. And maybe it's going to play out. But they lost the last 5, and they gave up a ton of points at the end of the year, Florida. So I want to see that defense. I think Cam can really spin it tomorrow, and they can score some points.
We will see. Another good one. Texas A&M is hosting Notre Dame. You know, I will say for years, I felt like Notre Dame was making it into the playoff by beating weak opponents and not having a conference where they had to play a gauntlet every year, like the Big Ten or the Big 12 SEC. But they go on the road. Ohio State, was that on the road? I say that.
No, they're home. Didn't they? Well, they did a home and home. Last year was at home, yeah.
Anyways, they go down to College Station to take on Mike Elko in his first year as the football coach for the Aggies. I have a disdain for Texas A&M, where I think a lot of people hate Notre Dame. Mine is A&M. Hate the Maroon, hate the 12th man, hate the Yell Leaders. I think it's a cult. Hate them. The numbers say A&M. I'm not buying it. Connor Weedman, there's just not a big enough sample size. He got hurt last year. I know he's highly touted. He's going to be good. Mike Elko is going to have the defense good. Like Notre Dame here, I'm a big fan of Riley Leonard. The offensive line does concern me. I think you're starting 2 true freshmen. Shout out Tim Murray. Thanks for giving me that one along with the under. I hopped on under 47.5. I think you can still get 46.5, 47, somewhere in that ballpark. I don't know how much these two teams are going to score tomorrow. What are your thoughts on it, Nick, as you rock a Notre Dame shirt?
Yeah, I'm obviously on the Notre Dame side here. Obviously on the Notre Dame side here, I took them +3. I get everybody's concerns. There's some of my concerns as well. 6 total starts in their career on the offensive line. Going down to College Station is not going to be easy. However, I think Mike Denbrock was so good last year. Look what he did at LSU with a running quarterback and LSU had a terrible offensive line now last year. And they were still able to win games, still able to get a Heisman Trophy winner. So I'm not concerned of him being able to scheme things up, kind of to avoid those faults that are on the offensive line, whether it's move Mitchell Evans, the possible first-round tight end, kind of have him chip in off the end or something like that. But yeah, I'm high on this Notre Dame team. You mentioned Riley Leonard. People were concerned in his past about kind of his deep ball accuracy, which is understood, but he was also just the MVP of the Manning Passing Academy. Recently, that shows me That's basically all I need to know. I trust Peyton Manning with my life. So if he says Riley Leonard's MVP of that thing, I'll take his word for it over what I've seen. So I trust this offense enough. I'm with you on it being low scoring. I think we are looking at something like a 24-20 probably type of game. So that under is probably – that total is probably spot on. The biggest concern for A&M, you mentioned Wegman. He's been so up and down, and now he's facing, as I mentioned when we did the top 25 breakdown, Notre Dame has the best secondary in the country. I don't know how many chunk plays he's going to have. Benjamin Morrison out there as a corner who's going to be a top probably 15-20 pick in the draft. You see what he did against Marvin Harrison Jr. last year in that Ohio State game you mentioned. He's a lockdown guy. Xavier Watts, probably one of, if not the best safety in the country, definitely top three. So, yes, there are concerns on the offensive side of the ball, but I trust this defensive line as well as the secondary. There are some question marks, kind of a linebacker with losing everybody from last year except for Drew Kaiser. So we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, I think this is going to stay low scoring. So give me Notre Dame plus three here.
And Smitty.
I know. Doing the first show with Nick, man. Nick's already texted me how many times going, I can't believe you're doing it. So, yeah, August 11th. I'm going to go back to August 11th. I took Miami and I took Moneyline A&M, and I got it at minus 120. So it's really gone in my direction here. Hey, listen, I'm high on Notre Dame. I'm not going to just say that because Nick's staring at me right now going, man, I can't believe I'm doing a show with this guy right now. But, yeah, I like Leonard. Both quarterbacks were coming off injuries last year. You know, Freeman has great numbers as a dog, as a coach. This Notre Dame team is legit. Even if they lose this, they're going to be right back in it, probably maybe going into the playoffs here, because I don't think they're going to lose another game if everything goes and they stay healthy here. Defense is really good. Secondary is really good. I think this, again, what I looked at, and I agree with Matt, what you said, the under. I think this is an under game too, if you want to jump on that. I think it's low scoring. Defensive line to offensive line, you know, they have such a good defensive line, A&M. It's in their home field. I think this one's going to be tight. I had to jump on the Aggies, though. I think they get a win Saturday night.
Y'all can fight after the show.
Nick, I still like you, buddy.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. Sean Alvarez says, I hope you don't trust Peyton's golf swing with your life.
Oh, I saw that. There was one bad tee off, like it was last weekend or 2 weekends ago. And it was one of those like memes where it's like, he's one of us, because he literally hit it like to the red tees.
All right. LSU and USC travel out to Las Vegas to play a game. I feel like this is going to be a really good game. Miller Moss coming into the season, a lot of hype. I don't know what Garrett Nussmeier is going to be. I know we talked about it in the previous show. I'm kind of down on them. You lose Jaden Daniels, who accounted for 5,000 offensive yards and 50 touchdowns. Plus Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr., you're going to take a step back. And I don't know if Caleb Williams was good enough last year for what their hype was. But I think I heard that he ended up being statistically one of the worst quarterbacks that Lincoln Riley has had as a college football coach. And I hope it works out for him in the Bears. I'm not buying it, but Miller Moss may have something here. LSU is the favorite. I got it at plus six with USC. I can't talk myself into giving LSU out by any means, even if this line goes down. If anything, I would still take USC plus four. What are y'all doing here, Nick? Are you think Brian Kelly is going to be able to get a week one win like he wasn't able to last year?
Well, expect points. I'll say that. Both of these defenses were two of the worst in the country, like to put it lightly, two of the worst defenses in the country last year. I'm not expecting much different. Both of them reloaded. I get that, and there's kind of higher expectations coming out of fall camp from what I've heard, especially on Brian Kelly's end. He says the secondary is back to being an LSU-type secondary. Got to see it first. For me, I'm with you. I don't know if I trust Nussmeier yet, but I don't know if I trust Miller Moss either. Like, it's one of those where it's tough. I think Nussmeier is probably – I would lean on him being the better one just for right now, just because he has more experience. It's kind of where I'd lean that. It is a neutral site. It's in Vegas, closer to – but I think LSU fans will travel. Like you give those people in New Orleans a chance to get into Vegas, they'll have enough drinks in to be loud. So I would probably lean to the LSU side of this. I don't think I'm touching it unless this line moves a lot one way or the other. If I play it, I'm thinking the over, because like I said, if this game can be both teams getting the 30s here, it wouldn't surprise me whatsoever.
Yeah, this is going to be one where I'll look for a first quarter over as well. I feel like both of them with the scripted plays, if we get a 13 and a half, 14, something like that, I feel like it's going to go over. And yes, LSU travels well. I'm friends with several LSU friends, friends with LSU fans, and they're all going out to Las Vegas this weekend. So
there you go.
I won't be there, but what else is new? Hi.
Yeah, you know, I think LSU, what I've heard, it's going to be a big crowd. They're traveling well, and they always usually do. You know, here's the thing with the quarterbacks. You break down, you know, Miller and the LSU guy, they put up big numbers, but it was the bowl game. Some of these teams, do they really try in the bowl game? I mean, good numbers, are they the real deal? You know, this is one of those – there's a couple games I'm really just intrigued to watch. Like the Florida-Miami game is one. The Michigan game – I know they're not on our board, but I want to see what they're going to do with, like, who's their quarterback, what they're going to do overall. I want to see what USC offensive line was really bad last year. Defense, like you guys said, was not good. They brought in the defensive coordinator from UCLA, Lynn. They brought the coach from North Dakota State coming in, and he's the linebacker coach. I want to see if this helps at all. LSU's defense was really bad too, like Nick said. I think this one, where I'm at right now, no play for me yet. I would lean over. I want to see it. But can these quarterbacks, let's see if they're the real deal too. I mean, a bowl game is a bowl game. Some of these bowl games don't mean anything.
I think it's hard to throw 5 or 6 touchdowns like Miller Moth did. I don't care who you're playing.
Yeah.
I threw 27 points in a high school game one time. Don't worry about it, Matt.
Oh. A blind squirrel. All right, Boston College. Is it time to fade DJU once again? Or I saw a stat, teams that are coming off playing in week one versus a team that did not play, they're like 16 and 37. Forgot who put that out. It may have been last night on the ESPN broadcast, but I was not impressed with DJ Uiagalelei. Not trying to
butcher that.
Yeah.
Just say DJU. That's the new thing. Just say DJU.
That sounds like a university that specializes in bachelor's of arts degrees for DJ and aspiring kind. Anyways, I really want no part in this. I could see this game going one of two ways. Either Florida State comes out, gets right, Norvell's got them fired up, and they blow out Boston College. Or Castellanos for Boston College goes crazy, pulls a Haynes King, and gets the upset outright. I don't like it at 16 and a half. I like it a little bit more at 17 and a half. I think the preseason was like over, what, 20?
Yeah. 20 and a half, I believe, yeah.
20 and a half. Parker's projections have Florida State minus 11 and a half. So you're getting value there if you think that, but I don't know. I can't pull the trigger on Boston College. Why don't you try to talk me into it?
I can't. No, I don't know how this game's going to go. It's one of those, like you said, I think go either way. Boston College keeps it close. I don't think they win outright. I think Florida State, there's too much at stake now knowing like that they dropped game one, and now with this 12-team playoff, everything in front of them, that's kind of their one mulligan. So I think they get right here. They're at home, which is going to help. I'm not big on DJU, but I'm still big on this defense. And even though they didn't perform too well against Georgia Tech, there was just some busted runs on the end that was just guys collapsing for no reason. So I don't know if Boston College can really exploit that. So I would say, man, I guess if I had to lean somewhere, it'd probably be Florida State. But yeah, this is a stay away from me until I see Florida State again.
And this is a standalone game on a Monday night. So I think we're going to have some good options as far as live betting it. See what props are out there first quarter. I do think Florida State probably gets off to a quick start. So anything with their team total, maybe in the first half, I would lean over. That's kind of a wait and see to me, which well, is a they, good plug before. Sorry, Todd.
No, that's okay.
Before I forget, plug our Discord channel. Hats off to Nick setting that up. That's where all of our bets are going to be posted on the fly. So for those of you that have followed the spreadsheet, that's still going to be a thing. We've been slow to update it, but if y'all don't have Discord, go ahead and download it. There is a link to it on our website, which is below, collegefootballinsiders.com. And Q said you have to add the www. That helps. I didn't know that. Thought it was all the same. But if you put in www.collegefootballinsiders.com, site will load. There's a little Discord link in the top right. Click on it. Come join the fun. Todd, what are you doing?
I wanted to go with your comment there, maybe the first half or whatever. I mean, Florida State looked great, went right down. I mean, we were all on the under last week. We were panicked, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, we were panicked. I mean, I had the under, and I had the Florida State under team points. So I went 2-0 in that game. You know, yeah, again, DJU 19 out of 27, 193. Here's the thing, though. They had 31 carries, 98 yards. They only averaged 3.2 last week. So they got to get the running game going. And they were supposed to be really good in the trenches on both sides. That was a concern in the game last week over in Ireland. I mean, their defense, Georgia Tech, 36 carries, 190. They had 5.3 average, 3 touchdowns. So is BC, they got a dual threat quarterback. He likes to run. He's a better runner than thrower. They got two running backs coming back. I want to see if O'Brien tries to pound the ball here. But I think this is a team that's going to be pissed off. I think they're going to come back and play well. But again, I want to maybe – could this be slow? The travel? I mean, I know they're college kids, and they're not going with a kid kicking their seat behind them and everything probably. But could this be a little slower at the beginning? We'll have to see. Standalone game, you know us, we'll probably have a bet on it.
All right. Well, if that wraps it up, you guys have any other matchups that we did not cover that you want to hit on?
Do you want us to go over our bets right now or just hit up on just on some?
Yeah, I mean, if you've got – I'm going to post – I'll make a graphic after the show and post for our three bets, our best bet, and then two extra ones for a 1.8. If you missed it earlier, we're going to do another pick'em contest. Three picks. It's got to be a spread total or a team total, first half, second half. No quarter bets, no prop bets, no parlays, teasers. And then the best bet will qualify for 1.5 points. I hate it because I would have made North Carolina my best bet last night. -1.5 would have barely. But I was on the money line -125. That cash.
Nice late night sweat there with the fireworks going off in Minnesota.
College kickers.
Do you think that guy got fired that set the fireworks off at Minnesota last night after the missed kick?
A little premature. I don't know.
I can fire my. I mean, I'd love to hear Nick's if we have a second here to throw. Let's throw him.
Yeah, out. You guys. I mean, I'm sure you bet more than three bets this weekend. So go ahead. Why?
I told Q on the phone earlier what I was doing. He goes, man, that's really low for you. I said, I know. I'm trying to get better. Nick, go fire, man. I'll listen to you first.
Yeah, I got about seven, and I'll kind of just quickly go over each one. I'm on Stanford +9.5 tonight. Really just do what?
Me you are too.
Yeah, I'm a fan. Just a fan of Troy Taylor, the coach at Stanford. Ashton Daniels, year under his belt. I think they're going to be way better. They should be definitely better than they were last year. Them and the ACC is a different story, but this is a completely rebuilding TCU team traveling to a very sleepy Palo Alto. I don't see TCU being good enough offensively to blow anybody out. So I think Stanford keeps us close enough here within that 9.5. I'm also on my best bet, which will, like you said, you'll make a graphic for, is Colorado State and Texas got it at over 59.5. So love Quinn Ewers. I think they'll put up a lot in the first half. And even the better thing about that is they have Arch Manning coming in. If it's a blowout in the second half, or even if he gets only a quarter, they'll be able to run the same offense. He's talented enough to put 7 or 14 on the board enough. And then you look at this Colorado State team with they're basically a quarterback, running back, and wide receiver, all power four guys. So I'm expecting if I get 13 to 17 points out of Colorado State, which I think they should get to with these guys, Braden Fallon-Nicosi is great as a quarterback. He's fun to watch. So I think they'll get between 13 and 17, which means if we get 35 to 40 out of Texas, this should be good. Another one I'm on. I'm on the under in Fresno State, Michigan, under 45.5. This is another one. I think Todd slightly mentioned it. Let's see what this quarterback does. Alex Orgy's thrown one pass his entire career. So I'm interested to see what they do, if they even let anything loose, because they have Texas next week, as we mentioned, the top 25 breakdown. I don't think they're going to want to put much on tape, especially with Orgy using his feet. So I think they're going to have him. I think they're going to play it safe, use Donovan Edwards a lot in the run game. Fresno State, I don't trust them to score much against this Michigan defense, who lost quite a bit, but they're reloaded. Their defensive line and secondary is good. This is going to be something like that. This is probably going to be like a 27-7 type game. I think this stays very low. Michigan's not going to try to run it up. They have no reason to. Like I said, they don't want to show anything to Texas, who they have next week. We mentioned Miami money line. I'm also in UTEP, Nebraska, over 47.5. That's a little out there one. Dylan Raiola all summer, all fall has been talking about they're going to open this offense up. He's been kind of bragging about it. He's out there trying to act like Pat Mahomes, saying he's been studying the film. If you remember Dylan Raiola, he was a huge recruit out of high school. So I expect him to put up, I think they put up 40. So let's get 7 out of UTEP or 10 out of UTEP and let's hit this number. Notre Dame we mentioned. And then another one that me and Smitty are both on is the Arizona team total. I believe he got a better number than I did. I got 44.5. I mean, we saw what New Mexico did last week. I mean, it was just – that defense was brutal. And this is an Arizona team that should be very good offensively this year. No reason to take their foot off the gas. So I think this team gets to 45 and hits that number.
All right. Yeah, let's go. Let's go. I'm going to go right – piggyback right off. I got 42.5 team point over with Arizona. Minus 145, laying a little bit of juice, but that's okay. Again, like Nick just said, they gave up over 300 and something yards on the ground, New Mexico to Montana State. So let's do it. I'm going to go team points over Pitt, 38.5, minus 130. It's offensive coordinators coming in from Western Carolina. It's going to be a speed up offense for Pitt. I know Pitt's not going to be very good. I might be going, why did I do this? But they're playing Kent State. I know Brad Powers is on the over in the game. I think Pitt's going to throw up in the 40 at least. I think they're going to go, and let's score some points early. I'm on my best bet, man, the Cougars of Houston. They're playing UNLV, and I'm just going with this. I don't think the Cougars are going to be that good in the Big 12 this year, but they do have Smith coming back. They got some pieces coming back. And UNLV, really good team last year, really good against the ATS, but their quarterbacks are from maybe Campbell. The one guy transferred to USC, the main guy. They have a guy from Holy Cross and Campbell. Holy Cross, I mean, come on now. If it's not Gordy Lockbourne coming back from the 80s, I'm not worried about that. Wow. So let's get them. So Northwestern, I like them. I think Q's on this game too. I think he took the spread. I did money line minus 155. Again, I'm laying a little bit of juice, but that's okay. Miami of Ohio is a good team. Gabbert's coming back for, I think, about the 15th year, coming off an injury. But I like this weird place. Let's get the win. Let's go. I'm on A&M. And Nick hates me, but I'm on A&M. Miami, Q hates me. Probably will kick me out of his house when I show up tomorrow. Under, I already gave that out of the Georgia-Clemson game. And then my teaser, I know Q took down Maryland. I'm going to take up UConn and get them up to 26. I'm going to match that with West Virginia, like I said, plus 14, and UConn plus 26. I'm just not sure yet on the quarterback situation at Maryland, who's their guy, and if they can do it. So let's go. Moore's been there now, I think, 3 years. I think they have some guys coming back. I think they'll compete a little bit. So let's get that plus 26 with West Virginia. That's the place. Oh, one more I added with Nick. Friday night lights. Had to. I like Western Michigan too. I have not added that yet, but I like Stanford. He got a better number than I did. He got 9.5. I got 8.5. I think Stanford's going to keep it close.
Went deep into the bag right there.
One more. Speaking of tonight, it's sort of a lean. and I really might end up playing it. So Oklahoma minus 42 against Temple. Temple this year is going to be somewhere around the 125th, 133rd team in the country this year. I don't see them scoring much. There's no look ahead for Oklahoma either. I think they want to get this offense right before Tennessee comes into town in about 3 or 4 weeks. I've said I trust the quarterback. I'm questioning the rest of the team, but they should just roll Temple tonight. I saw Stuckey on the Action Network took Temple's team total under 7.5. That kind of tells me a lot of where he thinks this game's going to go as well. So I'm leaning heavily if somebody wants another play for tonight, I might end up taking Oklahoma at that line too. Because they also opened up last year, I think it was Arkansas State, and won 73-0. So they have no problem in running it up week one.
Yeah, Beeson put out a number two, Nick, with these teams that are like 37.5 and over since like some year, really high, like covering it. So that matches Oklahoma, and that matches up with Ohio State against Akron tomorrow too. So they're pretty good covering the ATS. I have not, but I wrote Nick when he was writing that to us. I would look at team points with Oklahoma. I think they could lay it on them tonight. I think that's a good play if you want to jump on that.
So, yeah, Smitty stole my
overall
in week zero and week one.
Hey, Sean, I'll get those.
Favorites of 37.5 or greater are 14-0 straight up and 14-0 against the spread since 2013. That is Oklahoma minus 43 versus Temple, Tennessee minus 38.5 versus Chattanooga, Ohio State minus 48.5 versus Akron, Ole Miss minus 42.5 versus Furman, Memphis minus 38.5 versus Northern Alabama, Auburn minus 47 versus Alabama A&M, Oregon minus 44 versus Idaho, South Florida minus 39.5 versus Bethune-Cookman. Have at it. I'm going to total them up. May just bet $10 on each and see so I can report back on the record at the end of it.
Sounds like you should just parlay them all, 14-0.
Do some round robins.
Yeah.
Hey, special shout out. They're not sponsoring this, but I have struggled to find a good seltzer. High Noons are decent, but I can only drink like two of them, and then I just start burping all day. But Neutral, this is a good seltzer. If you don't like the super tart, sweet, sugary ones, it's a good option.
Yeah, we need to screen grab that and send it to them.
Yep.
Free advertising. What are we doing here?
Yeah. There's a little gap between the YouTube symbol and the logo right there. That could be a sponsor. Be Neutral. We'll see. All right. That wraps it up. We're just short of 55 minutes. We threw a lot at you guys. Please make sure you are subscribed to our YouTube channel and on Spotify or iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts. Go rate, review, leave a 5-star. If you want to leave a 1, make sure you blame it on Smitty. Thanks for tuning in. We will see you for a recap show next week. And make sure you follow along at NCAA Insiders on X, because I will post the graphic of all of our best bets. Until then, we'll leave you with the hype video as we get ready for another weekend of college football. I've waited a long time to be able to say that again.
Yes.
See you then.